come back to it 45 after. You see all the hardball tactics the Democrats are rolling out when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh. But to the point that it could be damaging, it could create a blowback, is the concern with the left. When you look at Kamala Harris and what she did in selectively editing comments by Kavanaugh when he was quoting other people, and she makes it look as if it's his quote, that puts them in a position where they look like they're just being dishonest. And it's a harassment campaign, so says Ted Cruz. It's a harassment campaign, and it is. And Susan Collins of Maine being at the tip of the spear for the left, apparently. The tip of the spear being, she's being threatened. Threatened because there's a group out there saying, we'll give you $1 million. We'll give you $1 million for your campaign if you vote against Kavanaugh. But if you don't vote, if you vote for Kavanaugh, we're going to come after you. And the things in her mailbox, unbelievable. The things in her voicemail, unbelievable. Extremely disconcerting. We're going to follow this because the voicemails are so unsettling. We want to share with those with you going forward. Shifting gears now, we're going to go with Joy Ilum, a service-connected disabled veteran of the U.S. Army, appointed to the National Legislative Director for more than 1 million members of the Disabled American Veterans. Joy, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our new report.
And I greatly appreciate your service and all that you've done and sacrificed for us to be here as well. Tell me about this DAV report and the spotlight's continuing challenges, and especially when it comes to women veterans like yourself. What have you found that's good? What have you found that needs work?
Sure. Well, our report spotlights how the expanding role of women in our armed forces is really necessitating changes to policies and programs that the VA and other federal programs and agencies are putting forth. When I was in the military back in the 1980s, there weren't as many women, but today women represent over, 15% of our active duty service members, and the VA had some catching up to do. It was really designed for men, and they had to readjust as more women started coming into VA. They saw about an 80% increase in the number of women coming to VA for care following military service in a very short period. So that did create some challenges for the department, and we talk about that in our report, things that are needed to
so an 80% increase,
those issues.
That's good news, an 80% increase. That's good news, unless you can't service the people properly, which that would be bad news, right? I mean, we've got a little of both there.
Right. So at first, they really struggled having enough healthcare providers that had expertise in women's health. They'd been seeing primarily men. But they did start a training program to make sure that providers were going to be able to care for not only older veterans, but the younger group of veterans that were coming in, the post-9/11 veterans, women veterans.
Yeah. So yeah, some of the highlights and recommendations, as I have perused this report, comprehensive primary care, and this is focusing on the needs of women veterans. Comprehensive primary care, mental health and suicide prevention, which we hear about a fair amount, military sexual trauma, homelessness, prosthetics, maternity care. These are all concerns and things that need to be addressed and done better. Is that fair?
Exactly. They need to have more gender-sensitive programs. So while they have good services in VA and provide great care, they just need to tailor them to the unique needs of women veterans. And the research that's been done and the findings have really make VA an ideal place suited to treat women veterans. But they do have to try to keep up and make sure that they're providing access and timely care to these women.
Let me ask you this. One of the big promises over and over by Donald Trump on the campaign trail back in 2015 and 16 was improving veterans' services and improving things at the VA. There's been a little bit of turmoil at the top of the VA, as you know, but overall, has the effort to improve services seem to be true with what the promises were made? Is he following through?
Well, Well, we've certainly seen a lot of legislation. There's just been the passage of the VA Mission Act, which is a very comprehensive piece of legislation that will definitely improve services for veterans. And we're encouraged. We have a new secretary. We want to be able to work with Secretary Wilkie. And we saw some remarks that he made just recently at a women veterans event, I believe. So it seemed like he understood the challenges that women veterans face and is willing and open to listen. And yesterday on Capitol Hill, we had VA leadership, a number of people from VA leadership there to see the release of our report, and we had an event to talk about all of the recommendations. So we were pleased that they joined us and listened.
Joy Ilum here. It would seem to me that that's an improvement then. It would sound to me like the president is keeping his promise that he made on the campaign trail by making sure that people are there and improvements are being followed through on. What else would you like to see happen here, Joy? We've got about 30 seconds left. Some other things you'd like to see the focus of prioritizing things. What would be number one to you?
Well, I think culture change is one of the big issues that we continue to hear from women. We want to make sure within, you know, DOD, we have a culture that's free from sexual harassment and a zero tolerance policy for sexual assault and holding leadership accountable and perpetrators responsible for their actions. And in VA, we want to make sure when veterans come home, they've got the gender-sensitive needs, you know, are met. And we want to make sure that women's services are acknowledged, recognized, honored, and that we see change as needed for them.
Well, Joy, thank you again for your service. And thank you for sharing your thoughts on where we're going with the VA and the DAV as far as the report goes. Looks like we're improving. Looks like we still have a lot of work to do. I appreciate your insight.
Great. Thank you again for having me on the show. And the report is available online at davwomenveterans.org.
davwomensveterans.org. Thank you so much.
There's satisfaction in building something new, something important, and something that will last for generations. Right now, there are job openings across Michigan for construction workers of all kinds. It could be you. Demand for construction workers has never been higher. You can help build roads, bridges, and infrastructure all across Michigan. And remember, construction workers are cool. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Michigan Construction banner to find out more about opportunities, education, and real possibilities for your future. Click on the Michigan Construction banner at stevegruber.com. Do it today. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is on the job every day fighting to deliver powerful business advocacy and political action vital to the success of Michigan businesses. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is working to make Michigan the best state in the country to live, work, raise a family, or build a business by strengthening communities and improving our quality of life. We work to improve workforce readiness and build the entrepreneurial spirit that has powered and defined Michigan for decades. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, on the job every day fighting for Michigan's future. MI Chamber.